Okay, well, we're on to a new subject. We're in a new month. We're on to a new subject. And our subject for this month is baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, it's good that we sang Wairuatapu this morning because that's who we're talking about. And this idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that is threaded right throughout the scripture. It's promised, first of all, in the Old Testament. In the book of Joel, in chapter 2, verses 28 to 29, it says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So well before Jesus came to dwell on earth with us, God had revealed through his spirit that he had a plan to pour out his spirit upon those who believed. And that this outpouring would involve all people who believed in him, old and young, slave and free, male and female. There was no exemptions. Those who believed in God would receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then it's also promised in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, in chapter 1, in verses 32 to 34, it says, "Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" This tells us that there are two different types of baptism. John talks about baptizing people with water, but then he tells us that Jesus will come and baptize with the Holy Spirit. And we learned a couple of months ago from Pastor Warren that that word baptize means kind of to be pickled. You know, it's like things being soaked in vinegar and receiving all that taste and sense of the vinegar. So to be baptized with the Holy Spirit means the same things, to be totally soaked in him. And then Jesus himself promised after his resurrection in Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, he says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So again, we see that there's two distinct kinds of baptisms, one in water, one in the Holy Spirit. And so this is not a kind of sudden decision of God's. It's prophesied, it's promised way back in the Old Testament, promised again when John the Baptist comes, and promised finally by Jesus himself that the disciples will receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, they'd already believed in Jesus. They'd already seen his resurrection. They already had believed that Jesus was the Son of God and he is raised from the dead. So, in our terminology, we would say they were Christians. They've been saved. But Jesus said there's something more. You will receive power. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he explains to them the purpose for this baptism in the Holy Spirit. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, what I find really interesting about this particular verse is that it says, "And you will be my witnesses." Now, in the Greek language, you can say, you will witness about me, which would be speaking. Okay? But to be my witnesses means actually being. It's not just speaking about Jesus. It's actually being witnesses to Jesus' life and death and resurrection. So it actually means living life like Jesus did. Being the person that Jesus is transforming us into. And the Holy Spirit comes to give us the power to be the people of God, to be the people that God wants us to be the people who show the world that God is real and that Jesus has saved us. And so it's not just about speaking. It's not just about telling people. It's about showing by our lives. And there was a famous ancient who I can't remember now, I think, anyway, doesn't matter, who said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. In other words, it's not about actually talking to people. I mean, we do that, that's fine. But if our lives don't preach the gospel without us saying anything, then what we say is a waste of time. So it has to be both. Our lives have to say that Jesus has saved us. And then when we speak about it, that confirms, the two match. Okay? If we just speak about it and our lives don't confirm it, then we're just kind of giving a double message, you know, opposite messages. So it helps us to be the witnesses Jesus wants us to be, but it also confesses here that we need power to do that, that it's impossible to do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why Jesus tells them to wait in Jerusalem. They're not supposed to leave until they have received that power, because they won't be able to do the job God has asked them to do without that power. And then we see the fulfillment of the promises. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately they were able to speak in languages that they hadn't learned. The Holy Spirit gave them languages to speak in. And actually in this instance, if we read the rest of the story, we see that they actually spoke in languages of the people who were listening. That they were all speaking in tongues and praising God in those tongues, and that the people round about were amazed because they heard their own language. They heard this praise to God in languages that they understood, and that languages that were not the languages of the people who were speaking. Okay, so it was a miraculous event. They began to speak in tongues. But that's not the only instance. We have several other instances in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were began to speak in tongues. In Acts chapter 10, in verses 44 to 46, it says, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter was in the middle of a sermon, and they didn't wait for the end of it. They just interrupted and started speaking in tongues and praising God in other languages. That'd be great, wouldn't it, if it happened here? I wouldn't mind at all. They couldn't wait. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were just filled with the joy and praise for God, and they spoke in tongues. These people had not yet been baptized. They'd only just heard that Jesus had died and risen from the dead. Peter had only just begun his sermon. He just started telling them the good news. And clearly, they believed, were accepted by God, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. So that tells us that There's not really any order these things should happen. And apart from the fact that we need to believe in Jesus first, then, you know, once you've believed in Jesus, then you're a candidate for baptism in the Holy Spirit. You're also a candidate for water baptism, and we've talked about that quite a lot this year, but here is another baptism that you're a candidate for. You don't have to be water baptized first. If you believe in Jesus, you're a candidate to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God does that off his own initiative. So these people weren't asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were just listening to Peter, and suddenly, boom, they were filled with the Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 19, we read of another group of people who Paul met in Ephesus, and he asked them some questions and said, you know, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, well, we didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. They received John's baptism, water baptism, and then Paul told them about Jesus and that John was the forerunner to Jesus, and told them about how Jesus had died and risen from the dead. And they believed, and so Paul said, well, you should be baptized into Jesus, in water he's talking about. So he baptized them in Jesus. And then he laid hands on them. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So as soon as the Holy Spirit came on them, they were again able to speak in tongues, speak in languages they hadn't learned, and prophesy. So throughout the New Testament, we see, but in the book of Acts, we see that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is connected to speaking in tongues. There's one or two places where it's not mentioned. In Acts chapter 8, I guess it is, when Philip goes to Samaria and he asks for the apostles to come and pray for the people who have accepted Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they come and they pray for them, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't tell us they spoke in tongues, but there was a sorcerer there who had given his life to Jesus, apparently, and he saw something that made him think, I want that ability. And he asked, he actually said, he offered to pay the apostles for the right to pray for people and have them baptized in the Holy Spirit. So there was some evidence other than, I mean, there was something to be seen. We don't know what it was. But given these other accounts, it's not a bad assumption that they spoke in tongues. We can't confirm that for sure, okay? Also, when Paul was saved and Ananias went to pray for him in Acts chapter 9, he prayed for him to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't tell us there he spoke in tongues, but when Paul is addressing the Corinthians and trying to get some order into their church services, he admits he speaks in tongues more than all of them. So at some stage, Paul began to speak in tongues. So this baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that we all need. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It's not like a badge that says, you know, you've arrived. It's something we all need, because we all need the power to be the kind of people God wants us to be. And so how do you receive it? Well, it's a gift. How do you receive a gift? You just put your hand out and take it, don't you? Okay. It's a gift. You just ask for it. And God will give. And when I first heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I went home alone in my bedroom in private, and I prayed and asked God to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And about an hour later, when I stopped singing in tongues, I thought, oh, I guess that's it. So you don't even have to have anybody else there with you, actually. Now, we have instances where people like Paul laid hands on these people and prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. So we do have instances where people actually pray for others to receive the Holy Spirit. But it's a gift. You can ask for it. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can just ask for this gift and receive it. When you do, you will receive a language you didn't learn. You'll be able to speak in tongues. You'll be able to speak a language you do not know. Now, one of the reasons why people don't speak in tongues is because they don't know it, they don't understand what they're saying, and they're a bit afraid. But if it's actually language that the Holy Spirit has given you, then it's a gift to speak to God directly without your intellect getting in the way. The Holy Spirit knows what we need to pray for. Sometimes we don't. Or sometimes we think that God should do this and we ask him to, but actually God has no intention of doing this. He's going to do that. So when we speak in tongues, we are praising God in a language we haven't learned, but we are also able to pray prayers that the Holy Spirit has inspired that are in line with God's will, that he will answer because we have prayed. And we may not understand the prayer, but that doesn't make it invalid. Thirdly, in order to receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues, you have to actually speak. The Holy Spirit doesn't force you to open your mouth. He doesn't waggle your tongue. He doesn't overwhelm your own will. You actually have to speak. The Holy Spirit will give you some words, but you have to be the one who actually speaks them out. When you have known Jesus as your Savior, the most important thing is to focus on him, to love and honor and praise him. He is the giver. If you gave somebody a gift and they raved about the gift and then walked away from you without saying thank you, you'd feel just a tiny bit peculiar. The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to give us words with which to praise God that go beyond our own understanding. You know, when we really think about who God is and what he's done for us, as David was saying during communion, when we think about that, we run out of words to describe just the amazing grace that God has poured out for us. And the Holy Spirit gives us words beyond our understanding. And so we need to focus on the giver, not the gift. Okay? Sometimes people kind of try so hard to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that they're focused on the gift and forgotten who's giving it. Our focus should be on the one who gives this gift, on Jesus who died for us, died for our sins, rose again from the dead, and is seated in heaven and praying for us, and is willing to send his Spirit upon us so that we will be able to live the kind of life that God calls us to live. The Holy Spirit already lives in us when we accept Jesus as a Savior. He comes to live inside of us. But this Holy Spirit baptism is termed several things. It's termed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's termed being filled with the Spirit. It's kind of overflowing with the Spirit. John speaks about it in John chapter 7. He says, it will pour out from inside of you like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so we all need this power. If you're living your Christian life without the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you're doing it hard. You're doing it the hard way. There's an easier way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let him come and overflow you from inside out, transform you from the inside out, empower you to be the person that Jesus wants you to be. And actually, you'll find out you can't stop talking about it either, you know, because once The transformation starts happening on the inside. And once you find that you don't have to struggle to be the person God wants you to be, you simply have to let the Holy Spirit make you into that person, then you'll find life is so much easier, and actually you won't be able to stop talking about it. So I want to encourage you today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is available for everybody who believes that Jesus died for them and is risen from the dead, and you can ask for it. You can ask people to pray for you to receive it, but you can ask God directly, and he will do it. Doesn't matter where, you don't have to be in a special place. You can ask anybody here who's already baptized in the Holy Spirit if they would pray for you, or if there's questions that you have that you haven't been answered already, then feel free to come and talk. But I just want to encourage you, to really live a Christian life, you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's life-changing. And freeing, liberating. It enables you to live how God wants you to live. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have given us all that we need to be able to live the life that you desire for us to live.